Turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Familiar passage, one that most of us have probably heard many times. A very encouraging passage, a passage full of promises for those who trust in the Lord. And that's what we've been talking about, is God's promise plan for our lives. So we're going to talk about three promises this morning that God has for us in Isaiah chapter 40. But before we go into God's Word, let's pray that He would speak to our hearts through His Word. Father, I thank You for this time together where we can worship You in spirit and in truth, where You, by Your Holy Spirit, can speak to our hearts through the truths of Your Word and enlighten us to Your will for our lives. Enlighten us to the precious promises that You have given us. Enlighten us to the relationship that we have with You, a wonderful relationship, a relationship where You are our Father and we are Your children, where You care about us above all. And we thank You, Lord, for that. We thank You for the awesome relationship that we have with You through Your Son, Jesus. I pray today that as we dwell on Your Word, that Your promises would renew our strength, that Your promises would help us to persevere in our lives, that Your promises would give us the peace and grace we need to do Your will in our lives. We thank You, Father, for Your wonderful Word. I pray that it would speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We come to a passage of Scripture today with a very familiar verse. Look at verse 31. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." The Lord is wanting to encourage us with His Word today. The people of Israel were facing some serious consequences for their sins. They were going to face some big-time hardships in the future. Isaiah is predicting those hardships. And even in the midst of these hardships, even in the midst of the judgments that God is about to proclaim, that He's about to perform on the nation of Israel, He recognizes that they are going to be discouraged by this, but He wants them to know it'll be for their good, and if they will trust Him, He will help them through it. He will help them, and He will give them the strength they need. And I think that's important for us to see, that God knows when we're going to be discouraged, that God knows what's going to happen to us in the future, and He knows there's going to be discouragement in our lives, and He is ready and willing and able to give us the encouragement we need in order to withstand anything that comes our way. And this promise from God, these promises that we see in this verse, are directly tied to the character of God. This is God's Word. God's Word is wonderful because God Himself is tied to God's Word. His character and everything about Him is tied to His Word. That's why we're told in the Gospel of John that Jesus is called the Word, because everything about God, who He is and what He's going to do, is tied to His Word. So when we look at this promise today, I want you to understand it's backed by the character of God. It's backed by everything He is and everything He does. And that's why in verses 25 through 28, we are told about the character of God. Look at verse 25. It says, "To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of His might and the strength of His power. Not one is missing." He's talking about the stars. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God'? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." So these verses are given to build our confidence in the promise that is made in verse 31. An everlasting God, a God who created the entire universe, whose power and might is everlasting, is the one who's making these promises to you. Not someone that can't fulfill these promises, but someone who is perfectly capable of fulfilling them in a perfect way and in a faithful way. He will perform these promises to you because of who He is and what He has done. So when God, in His Word, says something to us, He backs it up with His character and everything He has done. So this promise to us this morning, actually three promises to us this morning, are backed up by the character of God. You see, this promise is based on us trusting the Lord. Notice He says that they were doubting Him. They said, Where is God? Where is the Lord? He has hidden from us. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God. These people, they had lost hope or trust in the Lord. They had abandoned God. And they had said, "The Lord isn't hearing us." But God does hear us. God does hear us, and He wants us to trust in Him. The God of creation, the one who has no equal, the ones whose wisdom is endless, and the one whose strength is limitless, is making you a promise, but you have to trust Him in order to receive it. You see, God has a promise plan for you. He has a plan. It's backed up by His promises. That plan was to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins, to rise from the dead and be the heir of all of creation. And if you trust in Him as your Savior, ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and follow His ways, He will save you. He will save you, and you will have everlasting life. But it's based on trusting Him. That's the condition for all His promises to you. That's the one condition. We talked about this in our teen Sunday school class this morning. That there's one condition that God has for us to receive all of His promises. And that is to trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. As we do that, when we trust in Him as our Savior, His plan for our lives is orchestrated, And all of his promises that he makes to all that trust in him are fulfilled. And that's what we're going to see here. Those that wait on the Lord, that word wait is the Hebrew word gawa. And that word means trust. Wait on the Lord. Trust in him. Rely on him. And all these promises will be yours. That's what we see here in this passage of Scripture. Notice in verse 31, it says, but that they that wait upon the Lord or trust in him. Now, this word wait also has a meaning. It is eagerly looking for or having an attitude of hopeful expectancy. Having an attitude of hopeful expectancy. That's what trust in the Lord is. It's this, oh Lord, I'm so thankful for what you've given me. I'm looking forward to what I have in you. I know that you are going to fulfill your promises in my life. You have this hopeful expectancy that God is going to perform his will and fulfill all his promises in your life. So we need to have this hopeful expectancy that God is going to do what he says he will for us to have these promises fulfilled in our lives that are proclaimed in verse 31. So we're supposed to have this hopeful expectancy. But you know what happens sometimes? Life. Life happens sometimes, doesn't it? We get discouraged. Our hopeful expectancy gets diminished. And life has a way of doing that. The Lord understands this. So he reminds us of the stars that he holds in his hands. Of the universe that he takes great care of. That's what we see in verses 26 and 27. Israel had done what we often do. They said, God has forgotten about me. God has forgotten about me. Well, I want you to understand something. God has not forgotten about you. God has not forgotten about you. God was fully aware of their needs, and he is fully aware of your needs. And he wants to help us excel through the life we have before us, but we must have this hopeful expectancy. God knows you get discouraged. That's why he has these words of encouragement for you. That's why it's called renew your strength. Renew your strength. He knows our strength gets weak sometimes. He knows we get weary. He knows the grind of life wears us down sometimes. He knows we get those times when we don't feel real spiritual, when we don't feel really close to him. And he wants us to know that he will draw us back, that he will lift us up, that he will strengthen us again, that he will help us excel in our lives. He knows those times of discouragement are going to come, so he gives us these wonderful promises in his word. There are actually three promises given here in verse 31. So let's take a look at these promises and see what God has in store for us. Look at verse 29 again. It says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. The first promise for those who have a hopeful expectancy in the Lord will be, you will be empowered by God. Those who have a hopeful expectancy in the Lord will be empowered by God. God wants to give you inner strength. That's what you need to understand. God will give you inner strength. He wants to give you inner strength. I have seen a lot of people in life give up. They just give up on life. I've seen young men just give up on life. They had hopes, they had dreams, and things didn't work out the way they expected them to. So they just got passive and apathetic, not caring about their lives. It's sad to see that. I've seen young ladies do that too. Young moms do that to the point where they just give up nurturing and caring even about the ones they love and even their very selves. It's sad to see that. It's sad to see when people give up on life. But God doesn't want that for you. God wants to strengthen you in your inner person. When you feel like you can't go on anymore, when you feel like life is just not worth living anymore, God will give you inner strength. He will strengthen you by His might. We must remember that the Lord wants to be our source of inner strength. He tells us that in His Word. He will give us the strength to fight those things that make us weak. Think about the things that make you weak. Temptation makes us weak, doesn't it? We're tempted by sin. We're tempted by the things of this world. And when we indulge in them, they suck our inner strength out, don't they? They suck our inner strength out. But I want you to understand something. God wants to help you overcome those things and give you back your strength. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says this. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see what God's going to do for you? God's the instrument who's working in your life to give you the strength to overcome temptation. To overcome temptation in your life. You don't get that strength from yourself. God gives it to you. He's going to give you the inner strength you need so that temptation doesn't bring you down or keep you down. You fall to temptation, what do? 1 John 1:9, confess your sins to God, who is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He takes away the guilt. That renews your strength. Boy, nothing saps your strength like guilt. Nothing saps your strength like guilt, does it? Doesn't it? It really hurts. But God says, I'll take away your guilt, and then I'll help you overcome temptation in your life. I will help you. I will be there for you. I will strengthen you, and I will help you so you are able to bear it. That's what God promises to do. He is the giver of inner strength. You don't have the power within you to overcome temptation, but God will give you that strength. He promises He will. He promises that. Just trust in Him. Trust in the Lord. Not only that, He gives us strength to overcome our problems. He gives us inner strength to get us through our problems. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 16, the Apostle Paul prays for this, for the people at Ephesus, and we can apply this to our lives. It says in verse 16 of chapter 3, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. You see that? He, God, by the riches, according to the riches of His glory. In other words, who He is and what He has done, just like we've learned. according to His power, His might, His character, He is going to give you strength in your inner person by His Holy Spirit. And He's going to give you that strength to overcome whatever problems you face in your life. Problems can bring us down. But if we have the right attitude because we've been given inner strength by God, we can get through those problems. Two frogs fell into a deep cream bowl. The one was wise and a cheery soul. The other one took a gloomy view and bade his friend a sad adieu. Said the other frog with a merry grin, "I can't get out, but I won't give in. I'll swim around till my strength is spent, then I will die the more content." As he swam, though ever it seemed, his struggling began to churn the cream. Until on top of pure butter he stopped, and out of the bowl he quickly hopped. The moral, you ask? Oh, it's easily found. You can't get out, but just keep swimming around. Some of our problems are like that, aren't they? You see, we can get through our problems with inner strength. We can. And God will give you that strength. He will give you that strength if you will just trust in Him. Who and what you are strong for will make the difference when it comes to inner strength. If you are wanting to be strong for your own selfish gain, and you are want, or if you want to be strong just for your own selfish gain, you're not going to have that inner strength. But if you want to be strong for the Lord and others because of what Jesus did for you, you'll have inner strength. You will have it. And that's what we need to understand. We need to wait on the Lord. Trust in Him. Follow His ways and rest in His promises, and He will help us. He will give us the strength we need to get through this life. Then a second promise is found in verse 31, the second part of it. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Those who have a hopeful expectancy in the Lord will be gifted with the ability to excel in life. Those who have a hopeful expectancy in the Lord will be gifted with the ability to excel in life. Notice those who have a hopeful expectancy in the Lord will mount up with wings like eagles. Eagles' wings are very powerful and created to give the eagle the ability to fly fast, to maneuver quickly, and to soar high for long periods of time. They have wings that are 8 feet long in wingspan. Their wingspan is 8 feet long. And it makes it easy for them to mount up. An eagle, in less than a second, can go from a sitting position to this high in the air in less than a second. They can mount up very fast. They can maneuver with great skill and ability. They are amazing creatures. Notice the picture of this eagle mounting up. They are a picture of strength and agility, and able to do great things. I'll never forget the day, I've seen it many times, but I've seen eagles fly down with great speed and agility and be able to swoop down and catch a fish right out of a river and take it up. That's amazing that they can do that. To be able to excel and have that kind of skill and ability to do something so awesome. But you know what? They were created for that. God created them to do that. God created you to excel in whatever He calls you to do. He called an eagle to be able to swoop down and catch a fish in a river and gave him all the ability and skills that he needed to be able to do that. And he will do the same in your life. Whatever God has called you to do, whatever he has created you to do, he will give you the ability to excel in that. That's what he promises. He promises that he will help you excel in whatever he calls you to do. That's what grace is. Grace is God giving you the ability to do his will in your life exceedingly well. That's what grace is. Grace is not you being able to do whatever you want and God just says, oh, that's okay. That's what a lot of people call grace today. That's not God's grace. God's grace is the ability to do whatever he calls you to do well. And that's what his promise is here. His promise to you is that he will help you excel in whatever he calls you to do. And so he'll give you inner strength. He will help you in your life. He will strengthen you. He will give you that ability to do what he wants you to do. Now, thirdly and finally, the third promise is found in the last part of 31. It says, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who have a hopeful expectancy in the Lord will be given perseverance. Those who have a hopeful expectancy in the Lord will be given perseverance. Whether we are running, those times when we are trying to accomplish a lot and under a lot of pressure, or when we are walking, just the everyday grind of life, the Lord will help us to persevere. Life is full of ups and downs. The key is to just keep going. I found that to be true. Life is full of ups and downs. Sometimes the ups outnumber the downs, but not in Billingham. Nottingham, I know it's Nottingham, but the key is to just keep going. Just keep going. The Lord promises us that he will help us persevere. He will help us persevere. When we feel like quitting, the Lord will give us the inner strength we need to keep going. When we feel like throwing in the towel, he will keep us going. And he will bring us up out of the miry clay. He will help us. We just got to keep going. We just got to keep going. There's a man who experienced a lot of ups and downs in his life. I want to talk to you about him a little bit. He failed in business at age 22. He was defeated when he ran for legislator at 23. He failed again at business at 24. He was elected to the legislature at 25. His sweetheart died at the age of 26. He had a nervous breakdown at age 27. He was defeated for the speakership at age 29. He was defeated for elector at age 31. He was defeated for Congress at age 34. This guy's suffering a lot of defeats, isn't he? He was elected to Congress at age 37. Defeated for Congress at age 39. Defeated for Senate at age 46. Defeated for vice president at age 47. Defeated for Senate at age 49. And then he was elected president of the United States at age 51. That man, Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln. Probably our greatest president. Abraham Lincoln. So, we're going to face hard times, times that we may get discouraged. Remember these promises that God has given you. Remember that these are yours to have, and they are backed up by everything that God is and everything He has done. He will strengthen you with all might according to His glorious power. He will give you the strength you need to excel in this life. He will help you in those times of discouragement, and He will help you persevere through this life. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." That's what God has for you.